nice roses today, huh? Somebody's birthday? Wow. Actually, people are quite amazed. They're amazed by many things, of course. They're amazed by the shaved heads. They're amazed by the paint on the forehead and the saffron robes. But one thing that I find that really blows people's minds is devotees walking around the streets with rose garlands. People have never seen anything like that in their lives. Maybe in Hawaii you get that. Of course, in Krishna's kingdom, in the kingdom of God, there are so many wonderful flowers, especially Krishna's favorite flower, the Parijata flower. And those flowers have some smell. They look nice, though. Really beautiful. Especially after they've been offered to Lord Krishna, then they become even more beautiful. How many of you are here today for the first time? Any new guests today? Okay, you're all new. Good. Welcome. How many of you are happy to be following Krishna consciousness? How many of you enjoy Krishna conscious way of life? Okay. So wouldn't you say something worth following is worth sharing with others? What do you think? How many of you think it's worth sharing with others? Okay. So I think every Friday we should make a pledge. Actually, we should make the pledge on Saturday. That next Friday, I'm going to bring a friend or a relative or a stranger or a tourist or an emigre or somebody to the Friday feast, just so they can have a little sweet rice and gulab jamun, if for no other reason. Because that could totally change their lives. Just think of that. If they just take one bite of a gulab jamun, their mind could be completely blown. So it's a good thing if we can. We should not have enough room in the temple, because there are so many new guests. There should be chairs lined up all along the back there for all the people that can't sit cross-legged, and for all the parents. And how many of you have ever brought your parents to the temple? Only a few, huh? You don't like your parents? Somehow or other. Parents, grandparents, whoever. So, this evening, actually, I was just listening to a tape. Srila Prabhupada was, first of all, he was saying how in the Krishna consciousness movement, people are taking interest. And he was in India, and he was actually quite proud of how his Krishna consciousness movement spread so quickly all over the world. It actually startled sociologists and scholars and anthropologists and Indologists and etc. Because not only did Prabhupada expand the glories of Krishna, but literally he transplanted a sample of Vedic culture in the Western world as it is. In other words, dhotis and kurtas and saris and ankle bells and bindis and the whole nine yards, as we say in America. Everything. And, you know, it was just totally unheard of. There was one world-renowned Indologist scholar named A.L. Basham. He was an Aussie. And he noted that this is the most amazing phenomenon that he had ever seen, that someone could do this in such a short period of time, because usually cultural evolution or revolution or whatever it is, that kind of cultural change takes decades and generations. But Srila Prabhupada was an instant success. So he was telling some friends in India about how many books we were selling. But then he began to talk about how the devotees focus on Lord Krishna in their lives, and that they actually get great satisfaction from discussing Krishna Katha. And then he quoted that verse from the Bhagavad Gita, katayantascha mam nityam tushanti cha ramanti cha. The devotees of the Lord, they tushanti, they get great satisfaction, deep satisfaction, peaceful, lasting satisfaction from katha, from discussing Krishna. It's almost like It not almost like, it is mystical. It's very, what's a word? Transcendental. It's very transcendental. That you can sit in a room and listen to someone talk about Krishna, and you can go on discussing and talking about the pastimes of Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, we find the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find the Leela of Krishna. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find the Leela of Krishna's devotees. So even the activities of the devotees of Krishna are divya. Krishna says, janma karma chame divyam. My birth and my activities are all adhoksaja, divya, transcendental. They are above the modes of material nature. If you listen to mundane subject matter, you know, a friend of mine once saw The Sound of Music. Anybody heard of The Sound of Music? It was a famous movie. The old fellers, okay. Okay. So she liked it a lot, so she saw it, well, she saw it three times, the first time I saw her, and then I saw her about 2 years later, and she'd seen it another three times, so she saw it a total of six times. And I was pretty surprised, so I said to her, well, would you like to go and see The Sound of Music tonight? The seventh time she was totally disgusted. She didn't want to see The Sound of Music again, ever. Because she was exhausted. And anything that you do in the material world, eventually you lose your attractions. The law of diminishing satisfaction, or diminishing return. Everything is like that. Variety is the spice or mother of enjoyment, because we can't do the same thing over and over again, so we have to go on creating newer and newer varieties. Of course, ultimately the original variety is there in the spiritual world, but that variety, every aspect of it is unlimitedly enjoyable. But here the material world It is not like that. But when we discuss Krishna consciousness, then we get Amrita Bindu. We get a little drop of nectar. We're not diving into the ocean completely, because we're still covered by anarthas. We're still covered by our enemies. Our enemies are lust, anger, and greed, and envy. These are our major enemies, and they're blocking our progress, actually. One great devotee of the Lord, King Kulashekar, he used to pray, Krishna Tvadiya Padapankaja. Now that I am in a sound condition of mind, that I'm healthy and I'm in the association of devotees and I'm Krishna conscious, let me die now. He was healthy, he was strong, he was enjoying nicely, and he said, let me die now, Lord, because then I will remember you. Otherwise, I don't know what will happen at the time of death. I may not be so healthy. In fact, at the time of death, we all know what happens. All of the life airs get disjointed. In the body, there are chakras or circles of energy. 6 different chakras, starting from down here up to the Brahmarandra chakra. And the life force is maintained in these energy circles. Anyway, it's a little anatomy that you don't get in Anatomy 101 in college, but you can take it for granted. It's there in the Vedas. And they certainly know a little bit more about the material world as well as the spiritual world than medicine that's only a few hundred years old and kills more people than it cures. So the life airs, by chanting the holy names of Krishna, one is able to free himself from or align the chakras, the energy circles. But at the time of death, when the mind is out of control, you literally lose even your ability to, if you've seen a dying person, sometimes they flail their arms. They actually can't control their movements. Their balance is all gone. Their perception of things becomes totally distorted. So at that time, it's going to be hard to remember Krishna. It's not going to be easy. You're going to be freaking out. What's going on? You're going to be afraid. At least a materialistic man is very much afraid at the time of death. He doesn't know what is coming after the body. He's made no research. He spent his whole life chasing after sense gratification. He spent his whole life for a little bit of pleasure that is temporary and ultimately causes him distress. And then his time is up, and he doesn't know where he's going. So at that time, it will be hard to remember Krishna unless one has practiced in this lifetime. Unless we mold our lives in such a way that we're constantly chanting. Krishna says, Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha drida vrataha. Satatam means 24 hours a day chanting. Now this is possible, actually. Believe it or not, it is possible to chant the holy names of God 24 hours a day. It's called the training mode. Like an athlete who practices you know, 3 hours or 5 hours a day working out, running, jogging, this, that, jumping, lifting weights. So for 3-4 hours he's training, but actually he stops training, his heartbeat comes down, but internally his whole system goes on. So if you just do one thing, if you just spend your morning, see, in spiritual life, we have to practice a little bit of austerity. You don't get something for nothing. There is a price that you have to pay for Krishna consciousness. You have to be sincere to practice a little austerity. And in city life, to pay for those apartments, prices are going up. To pay for cars, to pay for petrol, to pay for food, to pay for anything, it's very, very difficult. You have to work. During the day, you have to work. You have to have a job. So the only time you have left for spiritual life is the morning, Brahma Muhurta. These are the hours when the mind is very, very peaceful. These are the hours just after sleep, when the modes of nature, the mode of goodness predominates from about 4:30 in the morning till about 8:30 or 9, Mangalarti. That's why Prabhupada stressed over and over again, early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and Krishna conscious. Thought I was going to say wise, but wise means buddhi yoga or bhakti yoga. Buddhi yoga, bhakti yoga is the same thing. Buddhi means intelligence, wise man. So, you have to get up early in the morning and practice chanting Hare Krishna on beads, in kirtan, in class. There are many types of kirtan. Satatam kirtayantomam. There are many kinds of kirtan. Prabhupada discussed this in a debate with one professor at the University of Southern California, Los Angeles, which is a university that has produced many, many Nobel laureates in physics and chemistry and math and economy, etc. But one of their top professors, unfortunately, in the field of Indology, was foolish enough to debate with Srila Prabhupada, and he got totally smashed. And that discussion took the form of a little pamphlet, Dr. Stahl and Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada made this point that kirtan means many different types of activities, but Krishna, Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's paraphernalia, Krishna's devotees, everything is centered around Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Ultimately, there is nothing but Krishna. And someone who focuses on Krishna, stavara jangama deke na deke tar murti. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is explained that a devotee of the Lord, a pure devotee, he doesn't exactly see the material forms in this material world the same way we do. He sees Krishna everywhere. At every moment, within everything, he sees Krishna. Now once we ask Prabhupada, Prabhupada, when you see Krishna everywhere, is it an understanding? Or is it a vision? And Prabhupada said, no. He said, it's a fact. Krishna is everywhere, and you can also see him everywhere if you have the eyes. The whole trick is to have the eyes. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. To smear your eyes in love, love of Krishna. We want love of humanity. In India they say Madhava. Manava, Manava Seva, Madhava Seva. Manava means man, So service to man is service to God. Pramatta. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma. Yad indriya pritaya apranoti na sadhu manye yata atmano yam. Again, the same word, pramatta. Mad. Indriyanam pramattanam. Because of the senses, we lose our proper sense of what is right and what is wrong. The non-devotee, pravrittim cha, nivrittim cha, they don't know what is the right thing, pravritti or nivritti. Renunciation, they don't know how to practice renunciation, and they don't even know how to enjoy life. They overindulge to the extent that they get so diseased and sick and they spoil the whole material world and they just suffer like anything. And they work hard all their lives to earn money, neglecting their health, and then when they get old, they spend all their money trying to buy back their health. So they don't know how to enjoy. Actually, there is more material enjoyment in a regulated spiritual life. In a community where you can at least trust people a little bit. In a community where people have good qualities. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvayar gunaistastra samasate sura. Devotees have an awareness of God that He is there in every atom. Anumanta upadrashta. He's the witness, He's the overseer, He's the permitter, He is Paramatma, Prabhasmi Sasasurayo, Shabdake Porushangrishu. He's the light of the sun and the moon, He's the ability in man, He's observing our activities. So the devotees know that and they have some conscience in their activities. It's not that I can turn the lights out and do all nonsense and nobody will know about it. Krishna knows. He knows when you've been good or bad, so be good for goodness sake. So, it's better to live in a community of people who are trying. Now, we can't stop Kali Yuga, but we can create a shelter for those who are serious about spiritual life. Now, how will we create that community? When each and every link in the chain is strong. We're as strong as the weakest link. Saying, a chain, you have a chain, you're lifting, you know, a ton block of cement with a big chain. So the chain may be terribly strong, but if one little link is weak, the block will come crashing down. So we need to advance in spiritual life. We need to develop good qualities. We need to try to develop humility, pridelessness, cleanliness, austerity, gravity. There are 26 qualities of a pure devotee. There are so many qualities, amanit bham adam vitvam, mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, the divine and demoniac nature, the 16th chapter, you can read. We need to develop good qualities. Prabhupada said, my devotees will be recognized by the fact that they are perfect gentlemen and gentle ladies. They will have good qualities. That's how they will be recognized. So if we want a community where we can think of Krishna 24 hours a day, then we have to come to the platform of human life. And that means to develop qualities, good qualities. Otherwise a non-devotee, no matter how expert he is in material estimation, abhakta, harabhakta, kuto mahadguna, he has no good qualities in the estimation of the saintly persons, in the estimation of Krishna. Manoratenasati davato bahi, because he's simply on the chariot of the mind, the manorat. He's simply going this way and that way, doesn't know where he's going. He has no goal, no absolute goal in his life. and for sense gratification he can do anything. So we have to decide, and the key is to associate with devotees, other devotees, and while in the association of devotees, to avoid gramya katha, to engage in Krishna katha. Gramya, gram, nagaradi gram, village. Gram means village. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that someday in every town and village, nagaradi gram, sarvatra prachora hoibe mornam prithivite achejato nagaradi gram. Gram means a small village. So in the village, sometimes people talk little frivolously. Village talk. Ah, what's happening in your village? Ah, this and that. You know, small talk. Village talk. But someone who wants to use every moment to achieve satisfaction in Krishna consciousness, because the more you put yourself in the fire of Krishna, in the vibration, in the energy, keep yourself in the energy of Krishna consciousness, the more you will get, the more you will receive. The more you give of your energy, the more you will get and receive. Shrinbatam svakata Krishna shrinbanti gayanti grinanti sadhava. Constantly chanting Krishna's glories. Vibhyantaksto hi abhadrani vidunoti suritsatam. The heart will become purified, become very, very clean, very pure. And then there will be no more profit and loss calculation. There will be no more posturing, no more games. But one will spontaneously act out of a sense of devotion to Krishna. All his activities are sublime. A devotee's activities are all sublime because his activities are all dedicated to Krishna. And anyone who follows him, anyone who associates with him, they will also become enlivened. They will also go back to Godhead. Just by his association. In that way we can build our community. If each and every one of us becomes Krishna conscious, if each and every one of us follows the path, Mahajano Yena Gatasa Pantaha, the Panta, the path given by Prabhupada. If you get some medicine, the efficacy of the medicine will be experienced by how you follow the instructions written on the label. If it says, take this medicine, one tablet, 3 times a day, and you think, I want to save money. Let me take one tablet every 3 weeks. And then after, 3 months, you say, this medicine doesn't work. But it's you who doesn't work because you didn't follow the instructions. Now, Srila Prabhupada has given us a formula. It's very easy. And everything in college, the motto in my college was, tuum est. It's up to you. Latin. I'm sure you're all Latin scholars. Tuum est. Whatever you want in your life, if you want to be happy and blissful and joyful, like a rose chanting and dancing like Radhana Swami and Sachinandan Maharaj. I heard you had an ecstatic through the ceiling and through the floor last week. believe me, it all comes from following Prabhupada's guidelines, having a little faith, and then doing it. Your mind will tell you no. Your mind will say, you don't have to do all that stuff. You can just, you know, chant Hare Krishna once in the morning and once in the evening and fake it a little bit and, you know, go to Sunday feast and put on tilak and, you know, carry a bead bag and shake it, you know. I see when I go through the Middle East countries, you know, everybody has these, they call them worry beads. They're actually supposed to be japa beads, but they more or less carry them for worry beads. Every Muslim has one. Every sheikh and every, you know, and they just kind of play with them when they get nervous or something, you know. They're supposed to be going, ilaha illallah, Muhammad, rasulallah, you know, and all that. But they just play with them. So you can do that too, you know. You've seen the people who carry the bead bags. They're called Kali Chela. Chela means disciple. They're actually a disciple of Kali. Durga, or whatever, Kali Yuga. Tilak nake galer mala kirtan karte. They do all the things. They wear dhoti, kurta, tilak. But the real thing is to try for the essence. Go for the real thing, Krishna consciousness. And you'll never regret it, and your life will be sublime. And that's, there's nothing in the way. There's nothing blocking you. Prabhupada has given us the formula. It has been followed by sages and saints since time immemorial. Brilliant men. Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Nimbarkacharya, Vishnu Swami. There are so many saintly persons who were powerful scholars, brilliant men, beautiful dancers, beautiful people, followed by millions. And they've given us this technology, spiritual technology. So we just have to take it, apply it in our lives, and monitor our progress by reading Nectar of Devotion, by reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, the lives of all the pure devotees, and we'll see that this is the Param Drishtva that's discussed, the higher taste. We'll see that it's the best thing. Some say kimti cheese, the very best thing. So we'll stop there. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, David?
What about sleeping after Mangal Arati again?
What about sleeping after Mangal Arati again?
Yeah.
Arjuna was addressed by Lord Krishna as conqueror of sleep. What's the term? Vrikodar?
Gudakesh.
Oh, Gudakesh. Oh, conqueror of sleep. We should try to sleep less, but nothing artificial. Sometimes, and it's a symptom of the atmosphere environment that we're in, but if we're around people who sleep a lot, we'll sleep a lot too. Just like when I was living like a hippie. Not supposed to acknowledge these things from the Vyasa songs. Supposed to pretend that you were a pure devotee all your life, never made a mistake even once. I generally don't like sleeping, but because I was with people who slept 8, 10, 12 hours a day, I tried my best to sleep, you know. it's a fact that if you try your best to get by with 5 or 6 hours, 6 hours is really enough. if you get to bed late, then get up for Mangal Arati, and if you have to go to bed after Mangal Arati again, take a little more rest, that's okay. But not like 3 or 4 hours more. You know, actually you'll find, I once went up to the, I'm Canadian, so, you know, Canadians always go up to Alaska every once in a while or something. Anyway, I didn't do it. I was going to say I did it, but I didn't. There was a guy named Farley Mowat who went up and lived with the wolves. We read this book in college. Anyway, he actually lived with the wolves. Talk about becoming an animal. I mean, he really tried hard. He lived right out there with the wolves in the wilderness. And they accepted him into their family, kind of almost, because he kept going, oh! they got confused. We have this cat sometimes, and we have the cats all the time, but sometimes when I walk into the building over at the project there, I go, meow. She gets, what? She gets confused sometimes, because I'm pretty good at it, actually. But anyway, he followed their way of life, and he saw that they never slept. 24 hours a day, they didn't sleep. What did they do? They cat-napped. In other words, they took 20 minutes at a time all day long. They were napping. And he tried it. And he said he got a better sleep than he did if he took, you know, so many hours in a row. Anyway, that, I don't know whether that's scientific or not, but in business circles, they call it a power nap. Okay? You know, you're a big corporate executive. You got, you know, 15,000 people out there working for you, and you're dealing with $30 billion, and, you know, you're signing checks and doing deals, and then all of a sudden, halt! And you turn your desk around, and you have to take a 10-minute nap. You just flake out. And it works. You actually, in 10, 15 minutes during the day, if you take off your mask and you take off your helmet and, you know, find a corner in the project somewhere and just sit down. For 15 minutes, if you take a nap, dream of Krishna or something, you'll find that it actually, you only need 6 hours rest. And then you'll have more time for Mangal Arati and sadhana. Those hours are really important. I'm going to put up on the bulletin board here a sheet that I sometimes put up in temples around the world. It's about 30 different instructions from Prabhupada saying, without Mangal Arati, there's no question of spiritual advancement. Without chanting 16 rounds following the four principles and Mangal Arati, one has to fall down. Without chanting Hare Krishna, four regular principles, blah, blah, blah. Whether they are big or whether they are small devotees, they all have to follow like that. And Prabhupada practiced what he preached. He slept about 1.5 to 2 hours at night, and he took another hour in the daytime. And so he would nap from time to time, but he didn't get more than a total of about 3 hours a day. And he encouraged us. It's just that while sleeping, those are productive hours that you could be using in Krishna service. If you actually need more than 6 hours, it's all right. It's not a big deal. The whole question here is to be sincere. I met someone who's got, what is it, mononucleosis or some kind of disease where their nerves are getting eaten away, multiple sclerosis or something like that. So I was giving a strong, yeah, and you can't sleep more than 5 hours and you're going to hell. And then after the class he came at me, whoa, he gave me a whole thing, why are you chastising me? Everybody gets on my case, I need more sleep. Well, the guy's sick, you know. He needed more sleep. I didn't mean him. I was just trying to encourage people, because sometimes we need a kick in the pants. You know? Gregor was telling me that in Ljubljana, the president comes into the Brahmachari ashram every morning and gives all the devotees a kick in the pants. Pours water on some. Hey, devotees pray. Prabhupada once in a darshan in Los Angeles, a bunch of us, and someone was making some excuses. And actually, he was trying to, you know, sometimes we use by words and things. People try to use the spiritual master to like get back at somebody else. You know, they ask a loaded question. It's called a loaded question. If you answer it this way, it explodes, and if you answer it that way, it explodes. You know, so someone was asking Prabhupada. He had been working very hard, but he wasn't chanting his rounds. So then Prabhupada said, I'm working very hard, but I'm not chanting my rounds, so what should I do? And Prabhupada said, sleep less. So then he said, but Prabhupada, I'm only sleeping 4 hours. So then Prabhupada said, so sleep 2 hours. Because he knew what he was trying to do. But you don't... the basic thing is to be sincere and intelligent. At the time of death... Oh, pardon me. What I was trying to say is that he mentioned at that time, in that discussion, that sometimes we need someone to push us a little bit. And a devotee of the Lord prays to Krishna, please put me in a situation where I will be forced to surrender. Because on my own, I am lazy. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so please put me in a situation where I'll be forced to surrender to you. But don't pray too hard like that, because Krishna does it, I can tell you. I know. I used to pray like that. Anyway, I'm being forced to surrender. And it's good. By any means, come to Krishna right now. Any other questions? Yeah.
For me, I find the science of Krishna consciousness is the most perfect thing for me to ever come upon. But what surprises me is that in Africa, many people for many, many years have kind of, in a way, tried to pursue some kind of God, because they have not had a proper knowledge. No one has a particular knowledge of who God is and what God's activities are. What can you do to discover God? So you find that many of African people have cultural beliefs. In these beliefs, they try to pray to some kind of God, but this is in a way to search for God. They are searching for God, and therefore they take maybe a tree, and you find that one culture prays before a tree. When another culture believes in a certain other kind of small gods, their ancestors, they have a small house behind the main house.
Yeah.
They go every day, they give some food, like the kitania.
Yeah.
And like this, they do it every day in pursuit of God.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is that the other religions that came later came and took upon this sincerity of these people there, because they are searching for God, and presented to them a God who is materialistic kind of God, and took all their faith. Many Africans, or many people from Africa, they believe so much in God, they pray so much in God. I come from a family that is very Catholic.
Yeah.
And to talk, if I explain to my father that, oh, you know what, I believe in Krishna consciousness. He said, what? Okay, it's all right, but I'll send my thanks.
Because the Catholic system says that there is no other God other than the God in the Bible.
Yeah.
So, now I'm wondering that why is it that this science of Krishna consciousness did not reach the roots of the people there?
Well, his question is that being from Africa, he's seen that the people are very simple in heart and their faith can be led this way or that way, and Christians came there and converted them, and when he's taken to Krishna consciousness, his family won't allow him to practice at home because they're Catholic, and so he wants to know why is it that the Krishna consciousness movement hasn't reached out to the Africans and shown them the true path.
Yes.
Well, I guess it's because you haven't gone back there and formed a temple and started preaching. Actually, I've been to Africa also, and especially I went to Nigeria, and of course I've been to what's that? East Africa also,
Kenya.
It was a totally different place. Kenya is totally different, and Lagos is totally different. So you have different kinds of people all over the world. In India also you have people who worship trees and worship ghosts and spirits. There's a billion people there, so you have many different levels, strata of people. But anyway, I found in Nigeria many, many nice devotees. And I went to so many temples there, Port Harcourt and Benin and Lagos, and went to about 6-7 temples. And very nice kirtan, ecstatic kirtans. They use bongo drums. And the devotees dance like anything. Everybody dances. And they chant, and they were in ecstasy. And wherever we go, people do come forward and chant Hare Krishna. And we're going to more and more places, and we just need an inspired soul like you to take it as your life's mission. To Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Amaragya Guru Hoy Tare Desh. You stay in your place, your desh, your country. You don't have to go anywhere. You stay in your country and you convert the people of your country. You become guru. Amaragya guru hoy. On my order, you become guru. Oh, no, I'm not a scholar. I'm not a big preacher. I'm just an ordinary devotee. That doesn't matter. Jare dekho, whoever you see, tare kaho. You just tell him Krishna Upadesh. You just repeat Krishna's instructions. You'll see how wonderfully it acts. This philosophy is so sublime. I remember when I was a hippie. Seems the only memory I have is Krishna consciousness and hippie. I remember when I was searching and I was in distress. I was really in distress. I was getting a good education, came from a good family, no financial problems, everybody had a television in his bedroom, everybody had his own car, da-da-da-da-da-da. But I was miserable. And, you know, I could tell a good joke at a party, and, you know, but it was all plastic. It melted so easily. And I was really frustrated and fried, and I was trying to figure out, what's the answer? How can I get out of this suffering condition? What can I do? And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, around the corner of the department store, I walked, and there he was, dancing in the middle of the street, with shaved head and tealock, and I didn't know who he was or where he was from. Maybe he was from the moon. I didn't know. But I went up to him And I said, what are you guys doing? And he said, we're experiencing the absolute truth. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, you're not the body. Wow, that hit me like a ton of bricks. That was it. I'm not the body. I found the answer. Eureka! That, I never thought of that. That was it. That really made sense. I'm not the body. I'm a spirit soul. And everything that was happening to me was happening to my body. And the reason I was suffering is because I was attached to it. So all we have to do is give people this kind of instruction. Just repeat Krishna's instruction. Repeat Bhagavad Gita. And it's so powerful that people will be really impressed. They haven't got anything that can even remotely... They'll think you're so together, even a neophyte devotee. You know, after the first week in the temple, he walks out on the street and, you know, he's a super philosopher, you know. He tackles professors in universities and, you know, because he's armed with Prabhupada's philosophy. That's all you have to do, is you can do it. And we are doing what we can.
Renunciation, talking about renunciation. How with the material world, it seems like it's so contaminating that even just a little dealing with it, it could contaminate. It could even
destroy. Yes, that's why you have to have Mangalarti. Then you get insulated, and you don't get. You're right. There, it's like. There's an interesting thing. I don't know if I told you this story. It's an amazing story. One devotee, Smar Hari, for me. Anyone know Smar Hari? The greatest Scotsman I ever met. Spent time in more English jails chanting Hare Krishna. He was a businessman. He was in pharmaceuticals. And anyway. Hope he doesn't hear this tape. He's my good friend. Erase that. Anyway, Smar Hari, he told me this wonderful story when he was in India years ago, and he was with a traveling Sankirtan party, and they went to Udupi, and we were a big hit there because we were Madhvaites through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Our tradition goes back through Madhvacharya. And the seat of Madhva philosophy is Udupi, because Madhva established his Udupi Sri Krishna deity there, famous deity that was manifest from the block of Chandan. And that's another story, wonderful story. But anyway, the big acharya of Udupi, he came to the kirtan program that our devotees were having. And after the program, he met with Achyutananda and Yashodanandan, Swamis, and he was telling them how impressed he was with the Krishna consciousness movement. And especially not with the movement, but with Prabhupada. He said that all of the Madhva scholars were so impressed with what Prabhupada had done, because generally, they are forbidden to travel across the ocean. They know that the western countries, they're called Malecha Desh, the land of Malechas. Malechas means lower, outside of Varnashram. There's Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra. You know, Sudra is the lowest level socially. But beyond, outside of that, not even within normal civilization are Malechas, who just have no good qualities. They have no brain. They have stool for brain. You know, like 99.9% of the population. So Means they don't know the purpose of life, and that means they're stupid. The purpose of life is not what they're doing. Their activities underscore. Their activities belie. Just like the face is the index of the mind, and the environment that you build to live in, that tells the story. Or the movies that you see on television, or in the, that, you know, that's always an indication of what people are into. And what is it? It's sex and violence. That's all movies are about. That's what people want. That's all they think of. 20 satatam sexayanto ma. Where was I? This devotee.
Udupi.
Oh yeah, Udupi. You know, I came all the way to the West and I couldn't get a return ticket. They were in Udupi, and this big acharya said, "We're so impressed with Prabhupada because he actually went abroad to Malecha Desh." And in Ayurveda, it was explained that one's aura, one's influence, his energy, extend.